NickPantsFire.com. Please go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great, Megan, how are you?
I'm doing good myself. So you had a bit of a whirlwind to get here for the interviews, eh?
Well, we're in the middle of shooting, so it's trying to balance and juggle both, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you.
I watched the first episode of Touch.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you very
much. The title is perfect, completely touched.
Yeah,
in the first 10 minutes, I felt an emotional connection already. So what I'm wondering is, at what point did you connect with your character and just know that this was a story that you wanted to tell and be a part of?
Well, it was funny. I mean, I was doing a play in New York on Broadway. I had a film that I knew I was going to go do, and so I read Touch almost reluctantly. I don't think I was completely ready to go back to television yet. I was enjoying some of the different opportunities that I've had.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was around page 30, I remember going, oh, shit. I guess something you could print, damn it.
Yeah.
Which I just knew I would be so remiss if I didn't take the opportunity that Touch was. I identified with him out of the gate. I mean, there was something interesting, because obviously this is very different than 24.
Yes, extremely.
Yet there is a real similar through line in the kind of character of the man.
Yeah.
Jack Bauer would be faced with kind of unbelievable circumstances in the course of a day, and he would never win completely.
No, he wouldn't, and you'd almost feel sorry for him and keep hoping for the next day to be better.
Better, yeah. And this guy's never going to win either. He's never going to have the quintessential relationship of a father and a son.
No, definitely.
And yet, he perseveres. And that's a great kind of character statement.
Yeah.
And so I identified with him greatly on that. And I think his appearance as well. Just the sense of responsibility combined with not knowing what to do all the time, even though this is, again, a heightened experience. I think every parent feels that. I certainly can speak for myself and say that I have. During Camellia's pregnancy, when Sarah was for 9 months, I had these great fantasies of how I was going to be the greatest dad on the planet. And then she was born, and a kind of fear came over me, like none other than I've ever had in my life. And I was confronted with the fact that I really didn't know what I was doing, and it was something that I was going to have to figure out as I went. And I really relate to this, to Martin, on that level. Just the dynamic between he and the son, I just find so extraordinary. So for all of those reasons, those were the first things that grasped me.
Our next question is from the line of David Martindale with First Newspaper. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I saw the pilot last week too. I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
Do you like to think that the world maybe does exist and does work this way, that everything is connected and maybe we're just not clever enough or observant enough to see all the working pieces?
Well, I absolutely think it does. Can one focus on every single moment of their life in this way? No, of course not. Anything as simple as, someone who's late for a bus one day, all of a sudden they're not on the bus, they're taking up other space, they either have to get a taxi, and that affects a taxi driver's life. And so, yes, I do believe that there is a cause and effect and a ripple effect upon everything everybody does. And they have positive consequences and negative consequences. And if you start to focus on the kind of minutiae of that, it's really quite extraordinary. Well, should I get on the elevator now, or should I wait? Should I get up? And obviously we can't live our lives like that. But I do believe very strongly that all of us and all of the other things in the context of our planet with Mother Nature, all of these things absolutely have a profound effect. Some of the effects of can be felt are small, and some of them are very large. And it was really interesting to do a show that focused on that.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Stephen Herbert with
you like the script, but one of the things is that in the history of television, when somebody has, you know, a great, you know, even groundbreaking series like 24, they rarely come back to television, and, you know, very rarely, and that's just been 2 years since 24 ended. Was it just the script that made you come back, or what was it, what prompted you to come back to television?
So it was a combination of things. I mean, I had an unbelievable experience on 24. We shot 198 episodes, and I was as excited about shooting the 198th as I was the first. So that experience, and I had a great relationship with Fox, both the studio and the network. And so that combined with this script, it wasn't even really a choice anymore. It was something that I knew I had to do. And I remember
your father doing an episode?
There certainly is always that possibility. The show is a procedural show, unlike 24 and unlike Heroes, which was a serialized show. These episodes will have a beginning, a middle, and an end. But it does not preclude a character who you've seen in one episode being able to come back five episodes down the line, and we have in fact done that. I don't really want to say who, for the people that are going to watch it, I would like them to see that. There also might be characters that are way in the background in an episode that will come to the forefront in another episode. But it doesn't stop each individual episode from being its own complete little entity. And so that's something I think Tim Craig has done a beautiful job kind of weaving in and out.
And our next question is from the line of Cassandra Skolarski with the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Since that last call mentioned your father, is there really a chance that he would be on, or was that just saying?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's we're working on episodes 5 and 6 right now. But I certainly have conveyed to Tim Crane, our writer, that my father is someone who I would very, very much like to work with. And my father knows of this piece, and I've certainly talked to him about it. And, we certainly do not have a script or a story or anything like that, but it certainly is open. I think one of the things that's so attractive about this piece is really Tim Crane's writing and character development. They give people an opportunity to kind of show some stuff that they might not normally get, and I would be honored to be able to do something like this with my dad.
Henderson with the Herald Dispatch. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Can you talk a little bit about working with David and forming that on-screen bond with him when he doesn't talk back to you?
Well, he's an amazing young actor, and he's an amazing young man. He does something that is really, would be impossible to try and teach an actor to do. He has very, very limited physical response to anything that I do. He doesn't talk, and yet I can feel his presence even if he's not looking at me. I can always sense that he's listening, and I think that comes across to the viewer as well. That's a real gift, and he was the first boy out of about 25 young people that I read with, and I remember thinking, because I was doing the play at the same time, so I could only do 5 or 6 or 7 kids a day. And I remember thinking, wow, this kid's amazing. If the other kids are going to be like this, we're going to find an amazing kid. And I remember it was around the 10th kid, I was still thinking, and all of the kids, I have to say, were fantastic, but there was something really special about David. And then I was thinking, well, we should just hire the first kid, and I think around 20. I said, no, the first kid was still better. And then I read it, we're close to 30 kids. I was finally like, we so much for coming on.
So, because you only have a limited way of communicating with Jake, who are some of the actors, that characters that are really going to become Martin's touchstone, so that we really get to see emotionally how he's reacting with this new journey and being able to grow through this process?
Well, I think Danny Glover certainly is a character that is explaining his son's condition to him, and then Gugu plays the worker at Child Services that is managing Jake's case. Those are people that will be very important. Martin's wife, who was killed on the terrible day of 9/11, even though she is not with us, I think he speaks a lot to her. And then I think a lot is going to be between Jake and his father. I think already in the first five episodes, their ability to communicate has grown exponentially. Martin starts to be able to read a lot of Jake's physicality and understand what that is, and the audience does as well, even though other people might not understand it in the context of our show. But I think one of the things that moved me the most about the piece was that I felt that Martin was terribly alone, and I think that that's going to be an aspect of the character, and certainly through the piece as well, and so that's going to play into it in a large way.
Our next question is from the line of Michael Moore with Examiner.com. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Keeper. How are you today?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Doing well.
Good.
I'm kind of surprised that we've gotten this far and nobody even mentioned the confession, because I thought that was fantastic.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
And so my question, I kind of have a little bit of a two-part here. One is, do you think we'll ever, any time down the line, get a second season? And can you kind of talk about the difficulties and the challenges that come into play when you're doing internet series, and then you kind of transition to network television, which might have, you know, it's positive, but certainly you might have to be a little bit more restricted regarding creativity because of certain demographics that are at play, the viewership and everything like that.
Okay, well, to answer the first part, yes. I mean, I would love to do a second part of The Confession. There certainly is a story there that Brad Merman, who wrote, and I have discussed. John Hurt had a wonderful time on the show, as I did, and so we would both love to do that. And I think the real challenge, you know, because I think The Confession was, from a production standpoint, was quite high-end, with regards to a lot of things that have been produced for the internet. The real difficulty is trying to figure out how to galvanize and pull in an audience. Because the internet is so fragmented that there is no real kind of central post, if you will. The movie business has theaters, television has set scheduling. The internet is kind of when you want it, how you want it, and trying to really corral an audience was what we found to be the most difficult. But I think that that's starting to kind of explain itself. The more things are produced for the internet, the clearer it becomes how to go about finding that audience. And with regards to kind of transferring back into kind of network television from an experience like that, I don't find any real shift in creativity. I mean, when I take a look at what I think Tim Kring is doing with this show, I certainly haven't been a part of anything more creative. And, you know, certainly there are language issues that primetime television will be restricted or might restrict you for. But in all fairness, if you can't convey an idea or an emotion within the vernacular that is provided for you by network television, then I think you've got a problem in your ability to tell a story. So it's never been a real issue for me. The one nice thing about coming back to network television, whether we do it or not, is you certainly can corral an audience. And as long as your product is, as long as what you're presenting is worth an audience seeing. So that's an exciting part when we were making cuts. did a good job, you know, that, that people would see it, and there's something very exciting about that. It's why we do it.
And ladies and gentlemen, we have time for one more question, which will come from the line of Reg Seaton with the Deadpools. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hey, Kiefer, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad, man. It's a big thrill since I'm from Nova Scotia. So
where in Nova Scotia?
I'm from Halifax.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I went to school with two of your cousins, by the way.
Sure.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel that Martin allows you to mature in new ways as an actor, given what the material calls for emotionally?
Well, I think, again, I kind of referred to his loneliness earlier in one of the earlier questions. And that's a tricky thing to play, because I don't want people feeling sorry for Martin, yet I want them to understand that the further he is able to communicate with his son, the more enlightened and enriched his life will be, and he might be able to move past some of the pain that he's experienced from the loss of his wife and his son's condition. Those are all real subtle narratives to play. They're not actually written. They're tonal qualities, and that's something that I'm trying to focus on a lot with Martin, and it's also something that I felt I really learned at least how to do better through my experience on 24. I think a lot of the things that I learned were trying to focus on little small changes within Jack Bauer, whether it was from season to season or even over the course of one of those days. That's what I learned in that process is something that I am trying to bring to Martin, and so that there's a lot going on, or a lot more going on than what is simply written on the page or what one scene might simply require, that there are through lines within the context of the character that are going from episode to episode, and if we are lucky enough to do multiple seasons, that would connect those as well. And so that's really an extension of kind of a technique that I really hadn't focused on or thought of before my experience on 24, and Touch is a perfect kind of show, and Martin is a perfect character to kind of try and weave those things in. So I hope that that's an aspect of me maturing as an actor kind of over the course of these experiences. And I hope that answered your question. In fact, to all of the people that asked questions, it's very odd not to kind of talk to you after I've answered the question, hoping that I've actually answered what you were looking for. And I think that was the last question. So I just wanted to, again, thank you all so much for taking the time. This is something that certainly, obviously, I'm very passionate about and care a great deal about, and really appreciate your help in getting it out.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, the Touch special preview airs this Wednesday night after American Idol at 9/8 Central on Fox. Kiefer, thank you very much for your time. I know production's waiting for you.
Okay, Josh, thanks again. And everybody, thank you very, very much for